is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're in Jeremiah 51. We'll pick up with verse 41, wrap this up, and move forward into related topic, the related topic of the United States and prophecy. God has provided a rapid system of recovery for the believer from personal sinning. This is based on the rebound technique of 1 John 1:9. This is supported throughout the Word of God in various ways, the importance of keeping yourself as a believer in fellowship. And there's no more important time than under face-to-face teaching to be sure that you are in fellowship and the Holy Spirit is able to do what He has given us to do, and that is to make the truth of God's Word clear to us incrementally. It takes a while, but any new topic, eventually it will click with you if you're in fellowship and you're paying attention. So let's take the usual time to prepare ourselves. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we assemble ourselves under the royal imperative to grow in grace and knowledge, and to lay hold of those things that are set before us, the race that is set before us, so that we can continue to stay qualified for the ultimate reward at the coming of Christ. We pray that you will bless these Bible classes to our edification and orientation to our time and place in the last days. In Christ's name, amen. Hopefully, if it hasn't already become obvious to you, that the Babylon of Jeremiah 50 and 51 definitely is not the Babylon that Daniel and Jeremiah and Ezekiel were connected with. That Babylon, the kingdom under Nebuchadnezzar, the great leader, he's a very fascinating character. I'm tempted to talk about him, but I won't. But Nebuchadnezzar is really a fascinating study in the Word of God of an individual who was obviously at the top of the world, so to speak, at that time. But his kingdom went by the way, was replaced by the Medes and the Persians. We'll reference that in other places. Of course. I mean, these kingdoms, these ancient kingdoms, are, you know, a big part of your Old Testament, as well as in the New Testament, the kingdom of the Roman Empire. These kingdoms, you might memorize them in order, in their order of existence. Now, in the prophecies of Jeremiah 50 and 51, all of the evidence points to not ancient Babylon by any stretch of the imagination. The geography doesn't fit. The nature in which the ancient Babylon fell doesn't fit, all of it. The way it is destroyed, the totality of the destruction, the fact that nobody can, after the fact, be permitted to occupy the land mass that makes up the Babylon that we're talking about here. I was looking in footnotes in the Ryrie Study Bible because I was curious, because he has a lot of things, notes that are really valuable with regard to dates and stuff and other things, but he just absolutely drops the ball here, 100%. It's just a strained attempt to try to make this into the Babylon of antiquity. It does not fit. It cannot fit. Everything's against it. So we look elsewhere. And one of the things he suggested, which I'll get to when we review the chapter dealing with the United States, Revelation 18. He says, well, there are different views. And he only lists two. He says this refers either to Rome. No, Rome is not. The Rome of the last days is not the big economic colossus that the United States is. Never even gives the United States an opportunity here. And the other one he gives is, well, some think that ancient Iraq will be restored. Well, the problems abound there. It will not be restored based on immigration from the nations. The nations streaming to modern Iraq. It's ridiculous. So that just falls apart. I don't even know why anyone would advance that. Furthermore, when Armageddon occurs, the Euphrates River, which was the key geological factor of the country, the Tigris Euphrates River running down to the Indian Ocean, right through there, dries up, so that the kings of the east can be on time for Armageddon. It's in Revelation. Okay. We'll pick up with 51:41. And of course, this is all in poetic form, and it is quite repetitious, but it adds new stuff as you go through it. You will be hard pressed to find any other prophetic entity of the last days that's given more verses than this one on the United States. And it's not just these two big chapters in the Old Testament. How Shishak has been captured and the praise of the whole earth been seized. Who would qualify as the praise of the whole earth in the last days? Historically, the United States, with its great economic output and all the other factors that made this country what it is. It's the praise of the whole earth, the nations and the peoples. How Babylon has become an object of horror. This is the flip. After the fact, it'll be an object of horror due to the nature of the destruction. A radioactive, the North American continent, radioactive. The sea has come up over Babylon. She has been engulfed with its tumultuous waves. Of course, the word for ocean, sea, in Scripture is used two ways. It's used literally for the earth's oceans, and it's used metaphorically for the nations, because the sea gets the sea from time to time gets churned and is active under weather conditions and so forth. So this is the nations in turmoil, whether it's warfare, whatever upheavals and events occur in history. That's the nations. They're the sea. You'll see it again and again. Her cities. Ancient Babylon was known for one city. Her cities have become an object of horror. Repeating from 41, verse 41. Focusing on one aspect. America is interconnected, became interconnected with cities. From the East Coast to the West Coast. All these cities are interconnected. You can probably name off a bunch of them real quick. Her cities have become an object of horror. A parched land and a desert. A land in which no man lives. Well, people live in Iraq now. And they visit the ancient ruins of Babylon, an archaeological site. But this will become a land in which no man resides. That's the ban. It's not just the destruction and elimination of people. There's no projected future startup. That is an additional indictment. And through which no son of man passes. Not just a casual explorer traveling through after the fact, after the radioactivity is cleaned up by Jesus Christ setting up the millennium. It appears that nobody is going to just walk through here as people would naturally and explore and look around and see things as they existed after in the aftermath. They're not permitted to. It's like the Garden of Eden after the expulsion of Adam and Eve. It became an area of land, a little area of land, that garden that was off limits to humans during the pre-flood period. Because God did not want anyone getting in there and eating of the tree of life. He could have removed the tree of life, but he didn't. It was in the center of the garden. Because he didn't want people going in there and finding the real fountain of youth. The reversal of the aging gene. You know they would be in there. So for all those years from that point on, almost the entirety of the pre-flood era, there was an angelic guard placed there that was pretty ominous. And I don't know if any dummies tried to get by him, but they didn't succeed. I will punish Bel and Babylon, and I will make what he has swallowed come up out of his mouth. American propaganda. In all of its forms, all kinds of false information. I'll make it come up out of his mouth. That is somebody sick to their stomach throwing up. Ironically, well, not ironically, but under radioactive poisoning, you can't keep food down. And all your hair falls out if you live for any period of time after the event. And the nations will no longer stream to him. No other nation has this distinction at this level. Yes, people travel all over the world from here to there, going all these different places. Daniel has a prophecy that in the last days, men will go, travel to and fro, and knowledge will increase. And that's not the knowledge of God, of course. It's just the knowledge of technology, industrial revolution, technological revolution. Now all that we have going on today with this technological activity that's out there. And of course, for men to travel to and fro, we had to get a lot more advanced systems of transporting people over land and through the air. The automobile, the airplane, and so forth. A recurring statement in these prophecies is, "Come forth from her midst, my people, and each of you save yourselves." The call will be to exit the United States right after the rapture, the window of opportunity for people who do not want to be caught in this judgment. But they will have to leave. It'll be of their own free will, and they'll have to find somewhere to go. No, it will not be convenient. The trib is not convenient for anybody, particularly. It's the time of wrath over the nations towards the establishment of the kingdom of Christ. And the nations will no longer stream to him. Even the wall of Babylon has fallen down. That's the military. What was the big protection for ancient Babylon? Those massive walls. They thought, they believed, that they could ride out any siege. They had the Euphrates running through the city, so they had water. And anybody out there that was planning to lay siege to the city could just rot out there. That was the belief of the last ruler of Babylon. So they were real relaxed and trusted in their walls. That they're defensive walls. So the defensive armaments of America will do no good, whatever they are, under this attack. When God's against you, you don't have a chance. I don't care how big and bad you are. That's been repeated over and over. And save yourselves from the fierce anger of Yahweh. Now, so that your heart does not grow faint. Because it's going to be an intimidating event for the average person that's going to decide, I'm going to leave America. I'm going to leave my nice, comfortable house and all the other accoutrements and benefits that I have here. All my emotions, everything tied to it, I'm walking away. With or without friends, with or without family. I'm doing God's will. That's the important thing. It isn't that dying's so bad, if you're a believer, that's not at all. It's that being in the will of God, so that if you do die, at least you died with honor. You didn't stay in Babylon. Now, so that your heart does not grow faint, and you are not afraid at the report which will be heard in the land, for a report will come one year, and after that another report in another year. So, this will mean a lot to those that are put onto these verses after we're gone. It will mean a lot because there will be some kind of report and they'll say, see right there in Jeremiah. That's the first report. That's our first call to leave. It isn't a report to leave. It's a report of imminent nuclear warfare. And violence will be in the land with ruler against ruler. Therefore, behold, days are coming when I will punish the idols of Babylon. And an idol does not have to be the usual thing that people fall down and worship. It's anything that commands their obsession, their service to, be it money, be it pleasure, be it any of these things. Materialistic details, all of it. I mean, back in the day, we even called them teen idols, celebrities. All of it, all the activities, all these Americans running around out here doing all these things that it's and not taking time to get themselves spiritually lined out. They're obsessed with sports. It's almost ridiculous, the constant commentary that they have on TV all the time, just constantly talking about this player and this and that and that and that. If they spent a fraction of that time interested in the plan of God, they'd be in a good place. I mean it. And the people that watch it, that are addicted to it, they've got to have it. It's a drug. And that's just one example. When I will punish the idols of Babylon, all these great things that people have and are doing will be destroyed. And her whole land will be put to shame. And all her slain will fall in her midst. What's the reaction of heaven to this event? Then heaven and earth and all that is in them will shout for joy over Babylon. Well, there's a lot of nations out there that if we were destroyed, they'd like it. But guess what? Heaven constitutes God, the angels, and the believers that are there. You will celebrate this destruction yourself, personally, in heaven. For destroyers will come to her from the north. We've got that in there. That's a direction, not south, north. And that fits the Russian landmass. North. I remember that stupid movie I saw a long time ago where the missiles were coming over and everyone got real quiet in the theater. It was called Damnation Alley. That was the movie. It's a real, real big one, right? They had several movies about war with Russia, nuclear war in the past. One of them was some guys survived on a submarine and there was nothing left but them on a submarine. Well, that isn't the way it's going to work out. And destroyers will come to her from the north, declares the Lord. Babylon is to fall for the slain of Israel. Our political policies and activities have led to Jews suffering, the seed of Abraham. It could be documented. Also for Babylon, the slain of all the earth have fallen in all kinds of ways. Our leaders have been warmongers, manipulating this. We had Americans who wanted to stay out of World War I. Let Europe and these people bloody themselves. It's not our business. But events occurred to try to change the American isolationistic view. We will defend our country against all comers, but we're not going to go out here and try to straighten out the world and correct every dictator and everybody that's under some kind of oppression and all the rest of it. We are a peace-loving people. We will trade with you. We will send tourism. All that business is fine. But they want war. It's about war. And to change the public mood. We have been involved in actual warfare continuously at some level. Not necessarily big ones, but wars, interventions, regime change, as we try to promote the New World Order and try to bring everybody under it. But it won't work. It will not work. There's a book out, the author's name slips my mind, but he was an American general. He won 3 Congressional Medals of Honor, I believe, at least 2, probably 3. He wrote a book. He was a part of World War I, and then after that, he wrote a book, War is a Racket. He said, I was in South America. We weren't down there for any interest. We were down there for various corporations like United Fruit. He saw through it. We're still in Afghanistan. That's really a benefit to us, isn't it? All that money and all these people and all this going on. That's just one place. So it's a big indictment. You trace the suffering, and a lot of it will come right to our doorstep. You have escaped the sword. Depart, do not stay. Remember the Lord from afar, and let Jerusalem come to your mind. Jewish expatriates leaving America. Now, if you're Jewish and you leave this country, as they said a whole bunch of them did in connection with what's happening in New York, because there's a lot of Jews in New York City, that they are applying for to relocate, and rabbis are encouraging them to do so. It's kind of like a prelude to what's really going to happen. But then you're not going to have time to have a 3-year wait to get approval if you can go. It's just people are going to go. I don't know how God will work those details out on the ground and make it possible for the average person who wants to do God's will, who doesn't put their love of their country and their comforts here above discomfort, relocation, to be in the will of God. That's what it's all about in the plan of God. Being in the directive, viewpoint, geological, and operational wills of God. That's why you're here today, hopefully. It's why you live here and come to Bible class. And if God had called you to go somewhere else and do something else, you'd pull up stakes and go. He isn't going to, probably, but that's hypothetical to illustrate the point. You would do it at your inconvenience, your economic loss, or whatever it was. You'd be like Abraham, the godfather of believers of this dispensation, who set the example by leaving the comfort and the prosperity of life in Ur of the Chaldees. Based on God's promise to him and his call, he walked out of there by faith, left his family, left his business, left all this behind him. went with his wife, and he took his nephew because he took him under wing because his other brother died. To a country that he didn't even know where he was going. And when he was told this, until he got there, 5 years later. And that was the second communique that God had with Abraham after he came out of Ur of the Chaldees. Family second, God first, geographical will, where does he want me to be? It's never changed. And that's it. And there are people who they will not do what they need to be in the best possible situation for the short life and time we have, and it just got a whole lot shorter. Now, some of you didn't have to make any big sacrifice. You lived in Oklahoma City. It's just a matter of hopping in your car and getting here and deciding that's what I'm going to do today. After all the holiday stuff, back to reality. Back to reality. That isn't reality. 100 Merry Christmases isn't reality. There is not, in this dispensation, there was in the age of Israel, any designated holy days that we are to observe, Romans chapter 14. None. Well, churches, Catholics, they started the ball rolling, made up all these different days that we need to regard as special and above another Sunday or whatever. I'm not against holidays, per se. I'm against distracting people spiritually. But Christian parents are going to tell their Christian children that there's a guy in a red suit up north that's going to bring them gifts. They lie to them. It's a lie. Give no heed to myths, the Bible says. That's a myth. Promoted all over. Oh, we know. Here's the justification. It's fun. It ain't fun to me. It's about the truth. We're going to have this goofiness in the kingdom of Christ on earth. What a change it will be in the culture and everything. Just amazing. So, the kingdom of God is within you. The truth is in you. And it's supposed to set you free. It's supposed to liberate you. But if you want to stay enslaved to all this, now I'm not critical of you because you did something on the 25th or the 24th or the whatever. That's between you and God. That's your business. I just want you to see through all this. It's a substitute for a real relationship. Never mind that our Lord was not born on the 24th or 5th of December. But hey, we are ashamed because we have heard reproach. Disgrace has covered our faces. For aliens have entered the holy places of the Lord's house. This is in the tribulation. The Trib Temple. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will punish your idols, and the mortally wounded will groan throughout her land. Though Babylon should ascend to the heavens, intercontinental missiles, these things. Though Babylon should ascend to the heavens, and though she should fortify her lofty stronghold, refurbish, build some new weapons, do this, do that. From me destroyers will come to her, declares the Lord. The sound and outcry from Babylon and of great destruction from the land of the Chaldeans. Of course, Chaldeans is the basic racial group that got this country rolling. Out of the British Empire, the Anglo-Saxon group. For the Lord is going to destroy Babylon, and he'll make her loud noise vanish from her. More on that later. And their waves will roar like many waters, the tumult of the voices sound forth. For a destroyer is coming against Babylon, and her mighty men will be captured. Their bows are shattered. That's the launchers. for the missiles and retaliation. And how they'll be shattered remains to be seen, but probably there'll be a big technological breach, a hack, something, I'm just guessing, that will absolutely neutralize this. All this stuff we depend on with our cell phones and all the rest of it, it can be shut down so quick it isn't even funny. There was a drop and a whole bunch of things went down for about an hour. I read a report. It was quite massive. The internet's down. Whatever. All of us depending on this type of a technology to run these new weapons. The first computers were after World War II and were in tanks. They were crude by today's computers, but you had to start somewhere where they would launch, where they would shoot rounds out of tanks, and they would regulate things with a computer. That was unheard of before that. And now, where are we? This can be neutralized. It's called EMP, electromagnetic pulse. They can just fry stuff. So anyway, another key to the last days requires this advancement in knowledge and these type of technologies, or you couldn't have the mark of the beast. It would make no sense. I may get to that later. A mark, I can't take it, or I'm going to go to hell. People do all kinds of evil stuff out here. How does this mark qualify me to go to hell? We have people in the world who are occultists who became believers, who were even Satanists who became believers. So what's some tattoo going to do? If it was a tattoo, a usual tattoo with a 666 in it. It's something that overrules volition. Overrules volition. So the human race has said, don't take this mark. This will be one of the big announcements. Do not take this mark. Whatever you do, don't take it. Die first, because it will be offered. Like, if you don't get this vaccine, whatever they want to call it, you can't buy or sell. They want to tag us so they can track us and know everything we're doing all the time. What your body temperature is. All of it. That's behind this stuff. It isn't about curing something. It's about marking everybody. This is the precursor to the mark of the beast when it is fully developed technologically. So you have no privacy. They know everything you're doing when you're doing it. There's been movies about this in recent times, anticipating this guy has got in his mind he's going to commit a crime. They know about it before he does it, so they can go grab him. Welcome to these times. The sound of an outcry from Babylon and of great destruction from the land of the Chaldeans. For the Lord is going to destroy Babylon, and he will make her loud noise vanish from her. The tumult of their voices sounds forth, for the destroyer is coming against her, against Babylon, and her mighty men will be captured. Their bows, launchers, wherever they're at, whether, and this is unconventional shattering. Their bows are shattered. The Lord is a God of recompense, payback. That's why we are never to take our own revenge. Revenge is mine. I will repay. This country has built up this huge debt, and he is going to do the recompense. I'm talking about our Lord. He will fully repay. I will make her princes, that would be any political types, and her wise men drunk. Her governors, her prefects, and her mighty men, that they may sleep a perpetual sleep and not wake up. We also saw that with Babylon, America's business class. You know, all those people, to illustrate, all those people out on the floor yelling and carry out the stock exchange. Very boisterous activity going on there. Looking at boards and everything and moving stocks around and cheering or not, depending on what happened. Here, it focuses on politicos and military types. Declares the Lord, whose name is the Lord of the armies. Thus says the Lord of the armies, the broad wall of Babylon will be completely razed. That never happened to ancient Babylon. There was some destruction of it, some deterioration of it, but it never was purposely just leveled by anybody. It fell into ruins through time, like things do. And her high gates will be set on fire. The gates of Babylon are very special when you see the description of them and the size of them and the motif on them. The colored animal figures and so forth on these gates. And her high gates will be set on fire. So the peoples will toil for nothing. Survivors of the initial attack on the United States will be out there fighting, trying to save the country, like people do in a catastrophe. And they will be struggling to try to turn the tide. They will toil for nothing. It'll be a vain effort. So the peoples will toil for nothing, and the nations become exhausted only for fire. Nobody's going to be able to save us, even if there are those out there that want to and make some kind of an attempt. It will not overcome this. Okay. Now, where I want to go first here. I think I want to go to Daniel 7. To your right, Ezekiel, Daniel. Daniel had a lot of visions with regard to events that would follow in human history, all the way down to the Second Advent. From ancient times all the way to the Second Advent. But this chapter, 7, a vision of four beasts. In the first year of Belshazzar, get it here for you just a second. This is 553 B.C. on the tip of everybody's tongue. 14 years before the fall of Babylon. He was the last ruler, and he was pathetic. You know, he's the one the writing on the wall thing and everything. When nations begin to reach the end of their history, their leaders become more and more corrupt and indefensible. Generally. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel saw a dream and vision in his mind as he lay on his bed. Then he wrote the dream down and related the following summary of it. Daniel said, I was looking in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. I assume that the great sea here is a reference to the Mediterranean Sea that's on the western shore of Israel. And four great beasts, animals, were coming up from the sea. As a result of the events of human history, nations arise. So it's like a monster arising up out of the sea. Different from one another. The first was like a lion and had the wings of an eagle. Well, we see motifs in drawings and things from archaeology where animals, four-legged animals, would have wings, a composite thing. That they're in their minds, they're trying to combine the strength and power of two different animals and combine them. They don't believe that there's an animal like that, but they do this for their own reasons. A lion with eagle's wings. Now, these are two prominent animals, one in the bird kingdom and one a predator. Combine these two aspects. An eagle can soar. It's amazing. Any observations of these type of birds and their ability is incredible. You study any of these birds and the speed with which they can go, their eyesight, everything. So it became a fitting symbol for America, the eagle. That's the animal out of all the animal kingdom that America picked to depict it. What did England pick? A lion. And you see it on all the things, and it's a lion standing on its hind legs. Lions don't do that. And they sure don't fly. But this one does. This picture is a perfect picture of the United States and its connection to England. Even though we won the Revolutionary War and declared our independence and set up our own form of government, in apparent defiance of King George and all the rest of it, we never completely separated from England like maybe we should have. England, according to the Jeremiah passage, is your mother. When you are destroyed, your mother will be ashamed. Who's Babylon's mother? Got any picks? I pick England. I know we have immigrants coming from all these other countries over time into the different colonies and so forth and so on. But it was the English Empire that colonized these colonies, came over here and set these colonies up under the royal monarchy. When the Revolutionary was over and we had gained our independence, we still were closely connected with that country. We even had a subsequent war with England, 1812. They burned the White House down. Nice mother. So that, and now, all the way down the line, we're so connected to England, particularly the banking aspect. With the Rothschilds and all that. And it just seems like, you know, in the news, I don't know, I'm not talking about TV necessarily or anything like that. I'm just talking about on your web deal when you go through the little different things that got click, click, click. They constantly are promoting the royals or some aspect of the royals of England. And I'm thinking, I got a weapon. Who cares? They're corrupt. Who cares about Prince so-and-so and Her Highness? You know? Who cares? I kept looking until its wings were plucked. That means jerked off the body of this lion. That's the destruction of the U.S. in a nutshell. The wings are no longer useful. We carried the Anglo-Saxon dream further in America than even England did at her greatest peak in all of her colonies and everywhere she had established colonies from China to India to all around. And then that all shrunk down. The United States carries the ball. It carries the lion. Until the wings are plucked up. Right here. And it, the lion, because the wings are no more, right? And it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. The English lion. What are we to make of this? Well, we got more to read. And a human mind also was given to it. So we have an animal that's now transformed into a human-like lion in this imagery that Daniel sees. How all that was communicated to him through the dream, you'll have to ask him when you see him. But the fact is, this is what he saw. What I conclude from this is a couple of things. First, that the United States will be destroyed, the plucking up of the wings. And the impact is Britain right now is a sad place. Economically, politically, immigrant, the whole thing, it's just a mess. Here's what I get out of this. That after the rapture, there will be peoples on the earth that will turn to the Lord, and the English people will. In a significant amount of numbers that will make a difference. England will not be a part of the 10 kingdoms of the Antichrist, 10-nation confederation. England won't be a part of it. Even today, we have England has tried to keep its distance from the continent, the European. Brexit. We're not, and it's always been this way, more or less. They just didn't jump into this thing. Yes, they're influenced by it and all the rest of it, the EU and all this business, but they wanted to break from this thing. England will be something to watch after the rapture. Great shame will come over them. That might be a place to go after the rapture. If you're out there listening and you decide that's what you want, that might be a place to go. All right, shift gears. That's that political combination. And behold another beast, a second one, resembling a bear. What nation on earth is continually referenced as the bear? You've got to know what that is. Russia. There are bears all over in different places around the world, but Russia has been called the bear. You know, if you look at their outline of their border, it almost kind of looks like one, if you can use a little bit of imagination. Bulky. The bear. Been referred to as the bear in a little picture on the front of Time magazine. The bear. And it was raised up on one side. And three ribs were in its mouth. Now, I don't know for sure, but I know that under the Soviet, before the fall of Wall and all that business, that they were in bad shape economically. Even everything was deteriorating because it's communism. Communism doesn't work. And it has had a resurgence in its economy, in its military cranking, and all the rest of it under particularly Putin. So that might be the raising up on one side. Because the picture is this. What do bears do, among other things? They hibernate. They spend the winter asleep. They wake up and they're really hungry. They eat a whole lot much before they go to bed. And then they lose a lot of weight and they wake up and they're really hungry. That's the imagery here. And three ribs were in its mouth. That means there's three ribs under its control because it's in its mouth. Between its teeth, and thus they said to it, the three ribs are talking to the bear and said, do this thing. Arise, get up, and devour much flesh. So what the political situation is going to be and what three nations are involved. And I presume that these ribs represent three nations, not three people, individuals. I'm assuming that. And that the ribs are exhorting the bear to rise up and devour a bunch of flesh. Not just be on one side. Rise up and go for it. Now, this possibly could be three nations that are close to Russia. We're meddling over there. We meddle over there. In their backyard, we meddle. America. Our ships, all this is going on over there. color revolutions, various things. So possibly it's three nations that have been affected dramatically in a negative way. They're ribs. They have no meat on them. They're stripped down. And they're encouraging the bear to devour much flesh. And the bear will do it. After this I kept looking, and behold, another one, like a leopard, which had on its back four wings of a bird, two sets. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. Well, I look around the world. Where do I find at least one good group of leopards? China. Those countries connected with what we call Asians in a general way. So this is of course this constitutes a tremendous amount of the Earth's population. All the people of Asian descent. China, Indonesia, and all of it. Possibly even included in this is India. And dominion was given to it. That's all it says about it. They rule that part of the world. These are the kings of the East in the book of Revelation, who will be drug into the Armageddon slaughter by the Lord. When he brings all these negative nations and brings them to this valley of decision event. All right, let's take our break. Some fellowship.